Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. This is God's Word. "So then, my dearly loved and longed for brothers and sisters, my joy and crown, in this manner stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to agree in the Lord. Yes, I also ask you, true partner, to help these women who have contended for the gospel at my side, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your graciousness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Don't worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any moral excellence and if there is anything praiseworthy, dwell on these things. Do what you have learned and received and heard from me and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly because once again you renewed your care for me. You were, in fact, concerned about me, but lacked the opportunity to show it. I don't say this out of need, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I find myself. I know both how to make do with little, and I know how to make do with a lot. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being content, whether well-fed or hungry, whether in abundance or in need. I am able to do all things through him who strengthens me. Still, you did well by partnering with me in my hardship. And you Philippians know that in the early days of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you alone. For even in Thessalonica, you sent gifts for my need several times. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the profit that is increasing to your account. But I have received everything in full, and I have an abundance. I am fully supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you provided, a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me send you greetings. All the saints send you greetings, especially those who belong to Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. The chapter division here really interrupts what Paul was concluding in the previous chapter, and that's why when we looked at the previous chapter, we went through the first opening lines of chapter 4. But it doesn't hurt us to look at those again. He says, "So then, my dearly loved and longed for brothers and sisters, my joy and crown, in this manner stand firm in the Lord, dear friend." In what manner? Well, in what he's been saying, in the things that he calls us to in terms of living as those whose citizenship is in heaven. and focusing on knowing Christ. But then he begins to describe a situation, or to refer to a situation in the church that should be instructive for us. He says in verse 2, I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to agree in the Lord. Yes, I also ask you, true partner, to help these women who have contended for the gospel at my side, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers whose names are in the Book of Life. Apparently, two women, both of whom had effectively served the Lord in advancing the gospel, were not getting along with each other. Now, I know you can't imagine that. But here were two people. I mean, I'm just going to tell you myself. There's a tendency to think that if two people are disagreeing, one or both of them is not walking with the Lord as they should. Okay? But here were two champions of the faith, two women who were effective servants of God, who had both worked alongside Paul. These were good women who loved Jesus, who cared about lost people. They weren't getting along very well. Now, you may recall that Paul and Barnabas had a major blow up and ended up going in two different directions because their difficulty got so intense. Even godly Christians can have disagreements. And Paul doesn't write and say, Euodia needs to quit it and start getting along with Syntyche. And he doesn't say, Syntyche needs to stop being obnoxious and get along with Euodia. He says, I urge you both to agree in the Lord. Find what you can agree on. Focus, and he's going to tell all of us to do this, focus on that which is praiseworthy, that which is good and worthy, positive. Years ago, Merrill Dunlop, who was a wonderful Christian musician, sat at the keyboard at French Camp Academy and gave a lesson that I will never forget. Well, until I'm totally senile. I will continue to remember for a long, long time. How's that? Merrill Dunlop sat at the keyboard and he said, I want to play a song for you. And he played it and it was lovely. And then he said, now I want to play it in another key. And he played it and it was lovely. And he said, now I'm going to play it in the first key with my right hand and in the second key with my left hand. And he played it and it was awful. It was cacophony. It was dissonance. It was horrible because those two keys didn't harmonize. They clashed. Now, to be able to play in two different keys at the same time is quite an accomplishment. That takes practice, wouldn't you say? So after he'd played it in both keys, he said, how did that sound? And everybody was like, oh! And he said, exactly. Now, my right hand can truthfully say, I didn't miss a note. And my left hand can truthfully say, I didn't miss a note. Both of them can insist that they were right. They were correct. But the result of their clash was horrible. And it did not inspire in you what a friend we have in Jesus, which was the song he was playing. He said, within the body of Christ, we have to learn how to harmonize, even if we're not going to always be in unison. We can have unity by being sensitive to each other without compromising the truth, but recognizing that one of the essential truths is that God has called us to love one another. And therefore, we don't just go off and do our thing insisting, I am right. There are a lot of problems in marriages, in families, in churches, because Christians insist, I'm right. without realizing the other person is too. This is not to say that everybody's always right and that whatever your truth is, we're not going to speak against it. But sometimes, even though we're right, we only have partial perspective. And the other person may actually have something valuable to contribute to our point of view if we would be gracious and godly enough to listen to what they have to say. Tons of the time, Christian disagreements are about people talking past each other and mischaracterizing what the other person is saying. So what you're saying then is blah, 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 blah. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying da, 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 da. So Paul writes to these folks and he says, I plead with you. I urge you. Agree with each other in the Lord. What do you agree on? I mean, these were both people who loved the Lord, cared about lost people, and had served faithfully in spreading the gospel. Now, it doesn't mean that you have to pick sides. Just encourage them to agree in the Lord, to focus on the truth that we share in common. And so he says, I ask you, verse 3, to help these women who have contended for the gospel at my side, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers whose names are written in the book of life. Verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. That, I mean, he already said that in the previous chapter. He said, I want to encourage you to be rejoicing. Well, we said last time, I'm saying it again, because we need the repetition. Rejoice. That doesn't mean feel good. Doesn't mean that you think your circumstances are happy. Oh, look at that, I've got a flat tire. Okay? You don't have to be goofy, but if you see that you've got a flat tire on your car, say, oh, Lord, this is frustrating, but thank you that I have a car. Thank you I have a jack. Thank you that I have a tire that I can put on as a spare. Thank you that it happened here while the car was parked and not out in the left lane of the interstate. Okay? 100 miles from home. Thank you, Lord, that somehow you're going to work this for good, even if what's happening is that this delay is going to cause me to miss an accident or to be here when someone else comes up to talk to me or whatever. We don't know all the ramifications of what's going on in our life, but God does, and God's working them for our good. So even stuff that seems to us like a colossal disaster, God says, no, actually, I'm working this for your good. Doesn't mean everything that happens is good. I love flat tires. No, it means even a flat tire, even an engine breaking down, even an illness is being used by God for the good of those who love him, who are the called according to his purpose. Always. No exceptions to that. Well, so I just need to feel good all the time. No! You don't have to feel good. You need to rejoice. What do we do when we rejoice? We confess and express what we know to be true, and that is God is good all the time. God is great. God is sovereign. He's in control. He's working out his plan. He loves me. He sent Jesus to die for me. Nothing can separate me from the love of God. That I rejoice in. So, rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. Let your graciousness be known to everyone. Does that mean we are not saying, I just want to be sure you know I'm really gracious? No, that's not what it means, let your graciousness be known. It means live in such a consistently gracious way toward other people that everybody who knows you will say that's true. That's true. I've seen grace in that person. Let your graciousness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Don't worry about anything. Now that is God's word. Don't worry about anything. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus gives a whole list of things not to worry about. The bottom line, as he says over and over again, don't worry, don't worry, don't worry, don't worry. You know what the bottom line is? Don't worry about anything. Don't worry about anything. I don't think the guy was a Christian when he wrote the song or when he performed the song. But don't worry, be happy. I almost feel like we ought to do that in church sometime. Okay? Because Christians would be so much better off if they took God at his word and realized this is a matter of obedience. God doesn't give us the luxury. Well, listen, if you don't want to worry, you don't have to. He doesn't say that. He says, cut it out. Quit acting as if God is not in control, or that God is in control, but he's not trustworthy. God's in control. He is trustworthy. Don't worry about anything. This is from a guy who's in prison. You understand? This is from a guy who's been stoned to the point where they thought he was dead. This is from a guy who's been beaten repeatedly. This is from a guy who has people who are trying to get him killed. He says, I'm not worried. Why? Well, the Lord is near. God's in control. I'm fine. Even the bad stuff people do, God uses for good. Don't worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, don't leave that part out. As you pray, be giving thanks to God. By prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. God is in control. And God doesn't make mistakes. And so we can have a peace that goes beyond what we understand. It's not based on our knowledge of the facts. Oh, well, I went over the numbers last night, and now I see that actually, if you divide it up small pieces, you can take 5 loaves and 2 fish and feed 5,000 men plus women and children. No, if you did the numbers, you will realize there is no way the little boy's lunch can feed all these people. Unless the little boy takes his lunch and puts it in the hands of Jesus. Because Jesus took it and gave thanks and then broke it and began to distribute it. And all of them were fed, and when they were done, there was more left over, far more left over than there was when they started. How did he do that? Well, he's God, and he was doing what the Father said. So, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any moral excellence, and if there is anything praiseworthy, dwell on these things. One of my children, who shall remain nameless, loves to watch shows about emergency room disasters and health problems and poisonous snakes and spider bites and Shark Week is a big favorite. Okay, I'm not trying to be legalistic here. I'm just telling you that's not a good diet for me. Okay, I want to fill my mind with whatever is lovely. Whatever is true, not fantasies, whatever is true, whatever is commendable, whatever is praiseworthy. That's what I want to think about. Because if you get bumped, what's inside is going to come out. So be careful what you are filling yourself with. And the peace of God will guard your hearts and minds. So fill up, dwell on these praiseworthy things. Do what you've learned and received and heard from me and seen in me. And you won't just have the peace of God. Verse 9 says, the God of peace will be with you. Now that's beautiful. It's not just God saying, I'm going to give you my peace. It's God saying, I'm going to give you myself. God comes to live his life through us. And that's why we have peace that passes understanding. So, Paul says, I rejoice greatly in the Lord because once again you've renewed your care for me. You remember earlier in chapter 2, the story about Epaphroditus who came from the churches in Philippi and was then taken ill and almost died? Well, the reason for his coming was not just to check up on Paul, it was to bring a bunch of support to Paul. And he says, I know that you cared about me even before you sent Epaphroditus, but I really appreciate your sending Epaphroditus because with him came that support, and I'm grateful. I'm well supplied. Thank you so much. He says, by the way, I'm not saying this because I need you to hurry and send some more support. He says, I'm fine no matter what. I've learned the secret of being content whatever my circumstances. He's in prison. God's using this to spread the gospel here. He concludes the letter by saying, greetings from these folks, and especially those of Caesar's household. Paul's saying, hey, I am here as the servant of the Most High God, and I bring you news of the one who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. If you repent and receive him, you can have eternal life. If you do not, you will be destroyed. Please, while you have the opportunity, turn and repent. Trust in him. And Paul is making progress in winning people who are part of Caesar's household. You understand who Caesar was? He was the ruler of that whole part of the world. Huge kingdom. Paul's imprisonment has landed him in a place where he's got contact with people in Caesar's household. But he says, all the saints send you greetings, especially those who belong to Caesar's household. I love that. I love that. Paul says, wherever I am, whether I've got a lot or a little, whatever I'm going through, I've learned the secret of being content. Whether well-fed or hungry, whether in abundance or need, I'm able to do all things through him who strengthens me. How do you do that? I'm able to do all things through him who strengthens me. But what about this? I'm able to do all things through him who strengthens me. Still, you did well by partnering with me in my hardship. I'm not saying I wasn't having a hard time. And you did the right thing. And he says, your faithfulness, your generosity goes back years. And I'm not saying that because I'm seeking the gift, verse 17, but I seek the profit that's increasing to your account. He says, I'm not just asking you to be faithful in your giving for my sake. I'm asking you to be faithful in your giving for your sake. You need to do this. It is good for you to be faithful in stewardship. Everything we have comes from God. Everything. Everything. So offer it all back. Say, God is yours. I just want you to do what you want. The little boy who had the loaves and fish didn't give some of them to Jesus. He didn't say, well, I guess I could give half. He gave it all. And a multitude was fed. And there was an abundance left over. Please understand. We need to give. Not because God's short on cash. We need to give because it grows us. It grows us. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the profit that's increasing to your account. But I've received everything in full. I have an abundance. I'm fully supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you provided, a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Those verses are true. This is the word of the Lord. Please, trust him. Trust him. He will not fail you.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.